everybody, welcome to this episode of Shaman Talk. My name's Rhonda and I'm your host, and this week I've invited Jane Goodsir from Fire Hearted Life to join us. Now Jane is also the founder of Shamanic Reiki UK, and she's trained and qualified as an Yuzui Reiki Master and as a shamanic practitioner as well. So Jane's whole thing is that she supports you to develop your own intuitive and unrestricted relationship with Reiki energy via a shamanic connection, which I think is really cool. Now, I don't know much about Reiki, and I think it's also important to say that Jane trained with the Centre for Shamanism, and she's created this beautiful pathway. But I'm like, oh, I want to know more about Reiki. I want to know more about what you're doing with various courses and other things. So this podcast is going to ask some pretty basic questions about Reiki. So those of you who know stuff about Reiki or are Reiki masters yourselves, please bear with me. Please be patient with me. But we do get into some really, hopefully some really cool, juicy stuff around the shamanic Reiki pathway and how Jane is developing that and supporting people to a more authentic practice when it comes to their Reiki energy. So let's get started. Hi, Jane.
Hello.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, no worries. And what we'll say is we'll try and speak slowly. We're both Scottish and we tend to get a bit carried away. So we promise to try. So let's just start with, tell our listeners, what brought you to Reiki, first of all, maybe, and then to shamanism as well. How did you end up here?
Yeah. So with Reiki, I was a new mum. I was searching for more. I was going to a meditation class, was having Reiki healing treatments, and people around me in classes or the therapists themselves were encouraging me to go and do some Reiki training. On reflection now, because I couldn't see it at the time, I was actually really anxious and really quite low after having my baby. Not because, as some people suggested to me at that time, and it did float through my mind as well, not because I had postnatal depression, but because after having my baby, I was starting to be unable to ignore things that I could ignore before in and about my life. My perspectives were changing. I was starting to see things with just like fresh eyes. I was subtly starting to become aware of who I was, what I was bringing to the table, because I had a baby. I was responsible for helping to support this beautiful new life. And I was starting to focus on being an emotionally available parent. I think somewhere inside, I hoped that via Reiki, I'd find ways to support my own internal world, like doing this training. Healing interested me. At that point, however, I wanted to help others heal. That was probably my main driver, right? I had no idea at that stage that before I could help others heal, I would have to commit to my own ongoing self-healing. My savior complex was real strong back then. My inner landscape at that point was largely just completely unexamined. So anyway, I began practicing Reiki as an Usui Reiki practitioner nearly a decade ago. And I noticed most often that I was drained, I was depleted, I was tired after working with clients, sometimes after just one client, definitely by the end of the day. I now know I was taking on their energy as my own and also giving away my energy to them. So I'd feel a whole host of different ways. I could feel hot, sore head, sick, ill, just sometimes however the client was feeling. I also fast started to realize I didn't have the tools to support myself with my own self-healing, which makes way for enhanced healing abilities. So I had various bouts of taking a stab at trying to explore my own healing. I wasn't actively trying to avoid it. I just didn't have the support to get into it. So I was taking a stab by myself, which felt like one step forward, 50 steps back, you know. Genuine community, like your membership, that soon to be the Cauldron's Way, that's right, hey? It's so vital on a healing path, I've found. So I was going it alone. I wasn't getting very far. And at one point, I completely stopped practicing Reiki because it just didn't feel right. I knew there had to be deeper. I could sense there was more power that I wanted to find, that I wanted to uncover to be able to work with the true essence of Reiki energy. Maria, who's my partner, my business partner, said to me one night, here, there's this Scottish lassie that seems really genuine. She's a shaman. She's the real deal. I think we should do one of her journeys. That was you. So I did. And that was it. From then on in, after a couple of journeys, I started noticing subtle, small, but very positive changes in my life. I started to recognise that what I'd really been craving was like the tools to support me, particularly with my spiritual and emotional bodies. It's not commonplace in our culture, hey, to know really how to tend to those, to grow up knowing what to do. A wee bit of time went on. It seemed like I was being naturally guided in my Reiki healing sessions when I was working with people to work differently. So I did that. I started thinking, here, this shamanism, this is, I mean, I'm onto something here. So after much resistance, a lot of resistance, I mean, down to the wire resistance, I wasn't going to sign up to work with you. I knew, even though I really knew I wanted to, you know, would jump on in there at the last moment to sign up to courses. But, you know, it was down to my inaccurate beliefs around what spirit was at that point. Signed up to your membership, then your apprenticeship, which I said before is becoming the Cauldron's Way. And the more I committed to myself, the more I committed to my spiritual team, the more I saw just huge and amazing things start to happen in my life and my work. Not always easy, most often challenging, as a human experience is, but definitely amazing things.
That is really cool. I remember you showing up after I think Riyadh suggested that you did a one-to-one, right, as well, and we did that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was cool. I remember that. It was really interesting working with you that way. So now what's happened for you is you've been through this, one might call dark night of the soul, when you had your baby, when you realised that everything needed to change, and you found various ways to do that, but you got to the point where you were like, oh, I need more. I need to, I can feel the power of this Reiki energy, you said, and you really felt like shamanism as a support to that. So that's interesting, because lots of people think that it has to be either or.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. So for me, one of the things I teach is to weave things together as you see fit, right? It's your spiritual path. We live in a privileged time where we can choose what works for us and what doesn't. Although we do have to always be aware of bypassing and resistance. Those are like, there's dark and light to everything. But I'm interested in like this aha moment where you were like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to merge these two quite distinct practices together because they go together. Did you have like, was it like a slow burn, or were you like,
I was a bit of both, I would say. So there are two distinct moments that I remember. So the first one was on unit 4 of the apprenticeship, and I was working with fear. I was teetering on the edge because I could feel it. It was coming closer and closer to uncovering what I'd been searching for, being able to gain and work with that true essence and power of Reiki, to find another way where I could heal myself, help others to heal, work non-restrictedly and intuitively, no depleting my own tank. And to do that, I was first going to have to work with fear. So on top of what I was learning, which was really in-depth and amazing in Unit 4, I added in a wee self-led project on fear. Took that a little step further at that point. And the output of that was a few things, including I really started to commit to my shamanic guides, as in show me the way, the important part, and I will action. I've been known to listen to guidance. I was listening to guidance for ages. It was there. But I was not committed to my spiritual team. I was not actioning. And then I was wondering why. Why couldn't I? Why wasn't this? I knew that I could do something here, but why was it not happening? My guides since then have given me everything that I needed every step of the way to co-create shamanic Reiki. I had to listen, and then I had to action. That unit also put me on the way to uncovering what I'm here to do in the world. I mean, I'm coming at a connection with Reiki energy really quite differently here, hey? Openly speak about my experiences with Reiki that have not always been great. I had to move through this whole, what will they think? Who am I to speak about this? Who am I to do this in the world? This whole cycle of BS stories that I used to tell myself, and like I was keeping myself really, really small. And then the second is cut to when I did your shamanic practitionership, and that's when the pennies went slotted into where they needed to be. And because that gave me the skills that I needed to do what I needed to do. So I had the wisdom, I had the skill, and I was continuing to work on healing my lived experience. So they're the three key components that I teach to working effectively and powerfully with Reiki energy.
Nice. Yeah. I remember hearing you start to talk about that, and I was like, oh, I've got so many questions about Reiki. So I'm going to go and ask you some basic questions, right? So,
okay.
And excuse my ignorance. So Usui Reiki, you're a Usui Reiki, am I saying that right?
Usui Reiki. Yeah, that's right.
Usui. Reiki, Reiki Master and Reiki Energy, they're two different things. Like, what does that mean? And also, let's chuck in, what is an attunement? Because I hear that word a lot, but I don't know what that is either. So
okay,
give us a rundown, Jane. Come on.
Okay.
For those of us who don't know.
So Usui Reiki and Reiki Energy are two different things. Yeah, that's right. So the common misconception is that Usui was the founder of Reiki. That isn't correct. Usui was the founder of his style of working with Reiki energy. And when he developed that, it's believed there were at least four other styles of Reiki energy being used at that time. The majority of people who are Reiki trained in the West at this time are Usui Reiki trained. Just to take a little scratch into that, just a little step further, a woman named Takata was responsible for bringing Usui Reiki to the West, to America. And she taught what Usui Reiki calls Reiki Masters for quite a high fee, but one of her students called Iris Ishikuro lowered that fee, making it more accessible for students to learn Reiki. So because of this, it is likely the majority of Usui Reiki trained people in the world have the lineage going back through Iris Ishikuro. One of Usui's key philosophies was that all students should seek to continually improve the quality and effectiveness of the Reiki energy that they're able to channel. And that I agree with. Usui developed his style of working with Reiki energy, Usui Reiki. A person can develop their style of working with Reiki energy, shamanic Reiki. So to answer your question, yeah, you're right. Usui Reiki and Reiki energy are two separate things. And
okay, not doing that makes sense.
The attunements is a really good question, because I used to teach Usui Reiki before I co-created shamanic Reiki. One of the main questions that students would reach out to me about was attunements. There seems to be this, like, almost a rush to get to the attunement process, like that was the goal, to be attuned. A Reiki attunement is actually all part of the process of reconnecting with spirit and embarking on a new or renewed walk down the path of life. A Reiki attunement, irrespective of whether you found that to be a good or a bad attunement or experience, either way, it's holding intention, it intensifies a person's natural empathic qualities that they were born with. So that means two things. The majority of us, as I have learned, need support to reconnect with spirit. It's not something, like I mentioned before, that in our Western world is commonplace. A safe connection with spirit in our everyday lives to support us. So if you've not had that support, particularly after having an attunement, you could have felt a whole host of ways. Sick, roasting hot, it's downright ill. And after an attunement, because your natural empathic qualities intensify, you're likely to need support to be an empowered empath as opposed to a trapped one. Like, as an empath, you should be able to go into the shop or to a family event and not take on the energy of a room. I don't think I recognise how strong...
Yeah, totally.
Like, I don't think I recognise how strong my empathic qualities were the biggest majority of my life. So, and for a large period of time, I wouldn't even know what an empath was. If you've not had support after an attunement, you could feel even more anxious and down, or more mentally overwhelmed and depleted, or less confident, less able to trust your intuition than
before. So are you saying that an attunement is something that opens your awareness more fully to the things that you naturally could do, but yeah, often it's done without support? And the way that I understand attunements, the very little, it always sounded a bit like a magic wand to me. So mm-hmm. It sounds like I'm wrong in the sense of like what it is actually. I think a lot of people might see it as, oh, I'll get my attunement, so everything's going to be fine. That's the impression I get from the outside. Yeah. So I don't know how correct that is.
Yeah, so I think often like a tick box exercise, you know? So let's go through the steps of ticking off all the things that I need to do to get through and get this qualification and get to wherever it is that I want to be, to the point of practicing on other people or to making money or whatever. Actually, Reiki, learning Reiki for yourself and then to work with other people can be just this beautiful, magical, just wonderful experience that enhances your life in so many different ways that you maybe didn't even realize in the first place. And yeah, you are correct. I experienced that a lot. I experienced a lot of people reaching out to me to speak in particular about their experience of attunement. The process of Reiki attunement can really be disempowering for some people. I'm not saying for all people, I'm saying for some people. I see like this feeling ill after an attunement being normalized, particularly on Reiki forums, and being ill after an attunement is not normal, though it is being normalized. Yeah, you imagine, for example, working in a highly stressful corporate environment, doing your Reiki attunement, getting light of what I've just said there, and within 24 hours going back into that highly stressful corporate environment, you ain't going to be feeling good at all after that. If you've not had the structured supportive pathway to give you what you need in preparation to integrate all your learning, to integrate your wisdom back into your daily life.
I was just about to ask about that. So it sounds like you're talking about integration, and to take like a very small segue, it's similar in shamanism as well, in terms of like people having these like experiences that are they're not supported to integrate and weave into their life. And a lot of people I talk to about Reiki, which is quite a few over the years, will tell me, do you know what, I really enjoyed Reiki, but I never felt confident to practice. They maybe did a few sessions, but for the most part that they don't feel confident, they're not really able to use the skills that they were given. And I guess that's because the part that you're talking about, the support and within the inner landscape to channel that energy as a hollow bone, it would be called in shamanism, I guess, Native American shamanism anyway. So they're not given that kind of structure. So I guess that's one of the things that you do, right, is to support people with that. Okay, so then my next question, right, trying to keep this straight in my brain.
Okay.
Right, chakras. I'm going to go there next, right? So there's a couple of things I want to mention. The first thing is I'm aware that there are many chakra systems. That's one thing I do know. I know that there's the common chakra system has 7 chakras. Mm-hmm. People who listen to this podcast will know that I've never resonated with chakras, so I've never worked with them, don't know much about them. Mm-hmm. But I found out recently that there's different styles of chakra systems. There's a 5 and a 12 and all this. So 7 is only one of the chakra systems you can work with. So that's the first thing. But my understanding is that for Yuzui Reiki, the chakra system is important. It's like a fundamental part of what you do, or what most people do, but you don't now. No. You've changed. Your chakra system has, and I'm doing that in inverted commas for anybody listening, is you've switched it now to the 3 cauldron power centers that I teach and I talk about in my book. So what my question kind of is like, tell us about why that is, okay to do, because some people might be like, well, you can't just change a system willy-nilly. So why is it okay to change that given the close relationship that Reiki seems to have with chakras?
Okay.
And then it work with no, it's okay. I'm getting it all right, so I don't forget. All right. And then B, how does it actually work with the cauldrons? So give us some like beef around that.
Yeah. So Reiki is not intrinsically linked with chakras. The chakra healing system is almost, let's call it, a default when it comes to learning traditional Reiki styles. Usui Reiki uses chakras. Usui Reiki, like I said before, is Usui's way of working with Reiki energy. At a basic level, traditional Reiki methods, hands are placed over the chakras to unblock negative or stagnant energy, so to speak. With shamanic Reiki, a practitioner develops their own connection with Reiki energy, a way of connecting that works for them. So that feeds into what you're saying, well, it's not all right just to change a system. I believe if we let spirit lead the way, we will naturally, and action, like I was mentioning before, not just listen, but action, will naturally land in a place that we need to be in, working in a way that feels good, that's integrity-fueled, ethical, and safe. So with shamanic Reiki, a practitioner's not following anyone else's how-to. They've got the skills to develop their own how-tos that are completely unique to them. So a practitioner using their hands to channel Reiki energy, as I said, is used most often with traditional Reiki. That's not the case when it comes to shamanic Reiki. Shamanic guides, spirit leads the way. Spirit does the work in non-ordinary reality as the practitioner safely bridges the earthly and the spirit realms, which can happen without hands over chakras to unblock stagnant energy. So that's the first part of what I would say in response to that question. When it comes to the cauldrons and Reiki, I've worked with chakras. My knowledge, my experience is really good. Here's what I've noticed now, having really good knowledge and experience of the two. Spiritual bypassing, you mentioned that briefly at the beginning when we were chatting, right, can quite often be prevalent with us humans. Spiritual bypassing, like being the tendency to use spiritual ideas and practices to avoid facing the unresolved emotional issues, for anybody who doesn't know, I'm clarifying that, because I didn't know that for a really long time. Didn't even know it was something that existed. And chakras, in my experience, as they've come to be used as a system of healing, in my experience, the majority of the time, I'm not saying always, in every instance, I'm saying in my experience, most of the time, this system can pave the way for spiritual bypassing. Now, like I said, I didn't know spiritual bypassing was a thing. So there might be people listening going, huh? Like, and if that's you, I totally get it. So I'll give you an example. Often I find that folks can want to and are encouraged to open their third eye and their crown chakra, develop their connection with the divine, bypassing without having the solid personal foundations to be able to support that, to be able to do that safely and effectively whilst healing their own stuff, which of course is making way for your more clear and strong connection. With the cauldrons, there is no way to bypass, to avoid facing those unresolved emotional issues, which most often I personally previously did. I would do anything that I could, consciously and unconsciously, to avoid facing doing that work. It's not comfortable. Who wants to do the inner work? Absolutely nobody. But I've got to, a person's got to, particularly if they want to be a safe and effective space to help other people with their healing. Something I'm asked fairly frequently is about shadow work. Like, how do I do it? Not, I want to avoid it. It's just, how do I do it? Use the cauldron healing system, because you can't avoid it, is what I would say to that question. So a step to answer another part of your question, with the cauldrons, my students learn via your book, The Cauldron and the Drum, to use the cauldron power centers as a system for self-healing. When it comes to helping others heal, shamanic Reiki doesn't use the cauldrons like Usui Reiki uses the chakras. So as I mentioned before, the guides lead the way in non-ordinary reality, and that allows the healing to take place. There's no system of healing per se involved in that. Working with the cauldrons, I'll allow the practitioner to self-heal, which directs me back to what you were saying just a moment ago about a rushed process and not having the solid foundation at what Usui Reiki students will call shamanic Reiki 1 before going on to be the practitioner. So practicing a little bit, but then thinking, oh, that there's something not right here, or that doesn't work for me, or I'm not getting this, and then stopping practicing altogether. So when it comes to using the cauldrons, it's a really solid, powerful way of having those amazing, brilliant foundations that are so, so needed to be a shamanic Reiki practice. In fact, to work with energy at all.
Yes. I agree.
Yes, to all of
obviously
that.
Anybody who's been here for 5 minutes knows that I agree and feel wholeheartedly with that. And then, so you have created a pathway, Jane, haven't you, which is really exciting. Yeah. Now, the idea was to, one of the things I wanted to do today was to like have you explain energy, the course, which I'm going to invite you to do, with the view to like let my listeners know that it is an option for them if they recognize some of the issues that you're talking about and stuff. But you've sold out.
Yes, sold out.
This one sold out really fast because it's really needed and people love it. So we'll put a link to the wait list in the podcast description so that people can find that. And you can also find Jane on Instagram as well. What's your Instagram handle?
Yeah, so social media handles are at Shamanic Reiki UK.
There you go. So you'll find Jane there if you want to find out more about this and reach out to go on the wait list for the next Energy the Course. But let's find out what more about it. Like, tell us more about your course.
Yeah, so Energy the Course is a training, an online training, where you uncover the shamanic secrets to sustained healing power and energy management so that you can become the best Reiki practitioner that you can be. So I teach pre-existing Reiki trained people the transformative power of working with shamanic guides to heal themselves and protect themselves during sessions. And I support them to be an effective channel for healing, maintaining their own energy levels and avoiding burnout. One of the things that was really key and most important for me when I was creating this course that will become part of a larger pathway is that students had ongoing support throughout the whole of it. So with this, there's over 170 hours of my support and support from a community of Reiki practitioners online in Circle Space, because that seems to be a really integral part that is missing when it comes to learning Reiki. So it's a 3-week online course, mixture of self-led lessons and experiences to help integrate those lessons. That's for the first 2 weeks. In the last week, there's a larger live in-depth workshop as well. So that's the Energy the Course in a nutshell.
Great. It's very exciting, actually. There's been quite a few folks from our community, isn't there, who've been like really excited and have signed up. And I think it's important to say a few things. It's online.
Yeah.
So you can join from anywhere. It's important for my community anyway, because we're worldwide. Yeah. It weaves in the shamanic style. You trained with the Centre for Shamanism, so it's a Celtic style of shamanism that you would be connecting with. So I think that's it, because it's the three cauldrons, which is important to say, I think. And it is suitable for anybody, correct me if I'm wrong, both people who've trained in Reiki for themselves. I don't know, there's levels, right?
Yeah.
And then also masters. So it's like anybody who knows Reiki energy can come and benefit from your course. Is that right?
Yeah. What Usui Reiki trained people and other Reiki lineages might call Reiki 1, Reiki 2, and Reiki Masters. Initially, I actually thought that this was going to be a course for pre-existing Reiki 2 trained people, so practitioners and masters as well. But actually, there has been significant interest and people have signed up, because the course also applies for people who have only previously learned Reiki for themselves and perhaps hit a bit of a block for whatever reason, or stalled for whatever reason. So any Reiki trained person of any lineage, of any level, it's open to them.
Great. So you can, you can find Jane over on Instagram. If anybody's struggling to find her, you can get us support@centreforshamanism.com. Drop us an email and we'll put you in touch with Jane and get you on that wait list for the next one, because this one sold out already. Before we'd even, this doesn't come out for a few days. This I'm a bit last minute Larry with this recording. This doesn't come out for a few days till Thursday. But so by the time Thursday comes round, we'll have all those links and everything ready for you. Now, let's find out a little bit more about you, Jane. Because, that's always interesting. And I wonder, one of the things I like to ask is, if you could remind yourself of something important in 10 years' time, so you're 10 years in the future and you've got to come back to today, what would you remind yourself of, do you think?
I think what I would remind myself of is, when you feel like you are not making any progress, but you are working so hard in all ways, on your internal and on your external landscape, what you're actually doing is making really strong foundations for the life that you want to live, where you feel the way that you always knew was possible. I think I'd like to remind myself that I was right to pivot in life. I wasn't asking for too much to live meaningful, vibrant, connected days. That there was more. There was a whole unseen realm of more that I trusted to support me. And they did. So for context, aged approximately 33, I split up with my husband. I had a toddler. I moved from my house and fairly affluent, exceptionally privileged life to a rented flat at that time. On a month where my business had made £15. I had a few bags of stuff. I had a car. And honestly, I had no idea. I had no idea how I was going to like make this work. I've got a degree, and all I heard from people in my life at that time was, use your degree, fall back on your degree. And all I could think about was how ill a corporate environment had made me in so many ways, and how my baby was going to be. I was crippled with guilt about that, as a side note. Thank goodness for shamanic recapitulation technique, or I would still be crippled with that level of guilt until this day.
Recapitulation is amazing.
It's my favourite.
It's amazing. It's magical.
Amazing. Literally, that if there was one technique that I would recommend to transform alone, it would be that. It would absolutely be that. Yeah, I love it.
Me too.
And I suppose at that time, I mean, throughout the course of all of that, I was breathing to get through dates. I've never experienced grief like it, that whole period of my life. It was, I mean, gut-wrenching. I now live with my non-binary female-presenting partner. We're in the woods, like I said before, I think, maybe at some point, in little wooden lodges. One might only perhaps be able to begin to understand the internalised misogyny that I had to work through to even be able to consider being in a relationship that wasn't, in inverted commas, heteronormative. That was massive for me. I feel like this has been our liminal space, our transition, where I've literally been gifted everything I need to begin again, and I'm so grateful for that. And I, in 10 years' time, will very much look back on this period that has been, though, the hardest and most challenging ever. Like, I'll look back on it, and I know I'll look back on it fondly.
All right, let's wrap up for today. If you had one message for people, Jane, today, to sign us off, what would you share?
Do you know, I was thinking earlier on about what I would say to people if someone asked me, what's the one message you would want to get across, right? And a few things came into my head, but I think what it would be is the very thing that led me to work with you. The very thing that led me to work with you, which was, you've got choice. You've got choice to change things, right? To do things differently. If you've got a privilege, like house, food, water, heat, you got a choice. And you don't want to go listening to people who aren't where you want to be at, right? I spent about a big chunk of my life listening to what my parents had to say or what my friends had to say. Are they living the life you want to live? In all senses of the word, no. No. External and material stuff only means something if your inner feels the way you want it to feel. So yeah, that would be what I'd sign off with today.
Lovely. Thank you, Jane. It's been a real pleasure chatting with you. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this podcast. I've learned a lot. I feel a bit clearer around Reiki and especially my obvious interest is shamanism and how shamanism and Reiki can be woven together. So that's super interesting. Thank you for sharing all of that information. If you're listening and you love what we do, please remember to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen, Spotify, potentially YouTube. I don't put them all on YouTube, but occasionally I do, and Apple Podcasts and the like. It's so helpful for people to see reviews and subscriptions. And it's just a wee thank you if you enjoy the content that we create for you. So thank you so much to everybody who's done that already. And thank you so much to everybody for joining us today. Until next time, may the wisdom of the ancients guide you, the warmth of your hearth comfort you, and the sacred cauldrons within you find harmony and balance.